Hey there, I'm Rachel Aaron, and you're listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. Get inspired as we discuss creative resources, trends in piano pedagogy, ways to grow your income and streamline your studio, and new ways to engage your students each week. If you are a teacher who wants to go beyond the method books to create an innovative studio that fosters lifelong music makers, you've come to the right place. Today we have a very special episode of the podcast because I recently had the chance to catch up with Tim Topham and hear about the many things he's been doing over the past month or so. Spoiler alert, he's been very busy. Tim recently gave the keynote address for the MTNA conference in Atlanta, so he shares about that as well as some of the resources that he is excited about right now at Top Music. It is always a privilege to sit down and talk with Tim, so I know that you are going to love this episode. Here's my interview with Tim Topham. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the Top Music Piano Podcast. Of course, you are no stranger around here, but I thought it'd be fun for us to catch up because you have had a busy few weeks and I would love to hear about them. And I know that our listeners want to hear everything you've been doing and also maybe what you're looking forward to in the coming months.
Sounds good. Yeah. And look, thank you for having me on your show. It's really, really cool to be here. And I've enjoyed listening to all your episodes. Yeah. It's just lovely having a different host, different style, different people. So I've really enjoyed that and having a bit of a break. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. So you recently returned from a trip to the States. Can you share a little bit about that and what you were up to?
Sure. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I got back just a few days ago, actually. So I was over there for the MTNA, which is the Music Teachers National Association conference, which happens every year. It moves around the United States. And I was lucky enough to have been asked to keynote. So I have been working, actually, I started working on my keynote, the initial concepts, after I left the NCKP conference, which is the other conference I often go to in Chicago in July last year. So it's been percolating in my mind for about 9 months, and slowly and surely, and this is how it works for me, I like giving talks like that as much time as possible, and it slowly percolates and morphs into a form that is actually going to work. At the start, it's just lots and lots of ideas. So that's what I was over there for. And I also flew, so that was in Atlanta. And after the conference, I flew to New York to meet and run an event over there with Mike Grande, who's been on my show a few times. He runs Rock Out Loud, the studio, and also Rock Out Loud Live, the online visual video platform, which I've recommended teachers try out. And we ran an event over there for studio owners who hire multiple teachers and have commercial locations and are of that kind of next level step in growth for those teachers that like to do that. And we had about 15 teachers there, and it was just really, really cool. And I hadn't been to New York for many years, for about 20 years. So it was great to spend also a day there having a look around.
Have fun. So I want to talk a little bit about MTNA. Can you take us back to when they asked you to be the keynote speaker and how you felt in that moment?
Well, funnily enough, it actually goes back to 2020, the pandemic. So I was due to run a masterclass, be an invited speaker, and run a creative teaching masterclass at that event, which was Chicago, I think they were going to be doing it in March 2020. And we all know what happened. I was literally about to leave. It was 5 days before I was due to fly out. And obviously, me and my family were all like, should I be going? Should I not? What's going to happen? And eventually, they made the decision for me in canceling it. But about 2021 or two, I got back in touch with the CEO, Gary Engle, and said, hey, look, would love to be involved in a future conference. We obviously couldn't make that one work, but, you know, would you have me back as a speaker or masterclass for a future one? And they said yes, which is great. And that's when he said, actually, I think it would be amazing if you could come to Atlanta and be our keynote speaker. And so I went, holy moly, that's amazing. It's actually been a dream of mine to give that keynote at that conference. Since I first went to the MTNA in 2017, 2016-ish when it was in San Antonio. And I just thought, this is a cool group of people and this is a great conference and I would love to be on that stage one day. And it happened. So that was a very cool story, like 8 years later.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment. Can you tell us, for those of us who didn't get to go to MTNA this year, can you tell us about the speech and how it was received and how you felt about it?
Yeah, I actually felt more calm given, I mean, it was a big speech. There's about 1,000 teachers, but I actually felt really well prepared. And I had a lot of fans and friends in the audience who were all smiling back at me. And so I actually felt it was one of the most calm presentations I've given. I felt like I was really kind of in control and comfortable, which makes delivering something like that a real pleasure. I was also introduced by not only Peter Mack, the president, who's a great friend, but also Martha Hilly, who I don't know if you met when you were at NCKP, but she is one of the best known people in academia and music teaching circles and just an amazing person. She flew to my event in Melbourne in 2020, all the way from America to support that and see what we were doing. And she's just an wonderful, amazing person. And she gave me the most wonderful introduction. So that all made it just really, really special. The keynote was about vision, really. I find that a lot of the teachers who come to me looking for help or come into Top Music Pro-Am membership and who are struggling, so who are feeling worn out, burnt out, they're not charging what they should be charging, they're struggling financially, they're not being able to choose the students that they really want to work with, they're missing all their family dinners in the evenings, all of these kinds of things. A lot of it comes down to not having a vision for the studio. And even more importantly, and I talked in the speech about there's actually three visions which we really need to have. One is a vision for our students, what we're trying to achieve with the students that we have. Secondly, the vision for our studio, what kind of studio are we actually creating and offering to our parents and students. But most importantly, and the one that's missed, is a vision for ourselves. What kind of income do I want? How many hours am I teaching? What kind of students am I teaching? What does that look like for me in the future? And most of the time, teachers who may be having a bit of a hard time often don't quite know what that is. And so I was taking people in the audience through a process of how they could set this kind of a vision. And even if their studio is actually ticking along quite well, I was encouraging them to consider this framework for other projects, that project in the back of their mind that they really want to bring to reality, that method book they've always wanted to write, or that those arrangements they've always wanted to publish, or whatever that is, because lots of people have one of those as well. So I told lots of stories, got some laughs. It was really well received. I got lots of great comments. I was also able to talk about my book, No Book Beginners, which was great. And so straight afterwards, we had book signing and book sales outside the main ballroom. And that was great because I got to meet lots of teachers and have a quick chat with them and find out what they're up to. And I did actually record for our members in Top Music Pro. I recorded my speech in one of my final rehearsals before I left. So for those Top Music Pro members listening, you can actually find and watch that in the Academy. It's not quite the same, but it's pretty good and will be helpful if you want to try this framework yourself.
Yes. So I actually watched it yesterday in preparation for this. Yeah. So it was well worth the time spent watching. So I encourage people to go and watch the speech if they weren't at MTNA. It's such good advice for teachers to think about their vision for themselves. I think a lot of times we approach it from a place of almost desperation. Like, you'll take any student at any level and, you know, because you think, oh, I need more students. But I think when you come from that place of knowing what you want for yourself and your students, you actually create more of a brand for yourself and it start attracting the students that you should be attracting.
Absolutely. And look, it's fine. When you get started, we all start by taking every student we can find and traveling to homes and doing it all wrong, but that's okay. That's how we start. I guess this message is for the teachers who are now have some stability. It's like, okay, how do we actually make this work properly in our favor? And talking about money is a bit icky for music teachers sometimes. And I brought that up and I'm like, you know, we have to be realistic here. Some of us, yes, we're able to teach music as a hobby, but many of us do need to create some kind of income from it, a proper profit. And so we do, if we want that, we need to talk about it and we need to talk like we're running a business, which we are. So, and I think that attitude is shifting. And I've been talking and preaching this really about business, both business and pedagogy. Top Music has always been about those two aspects of running a studio. I've been talking about it for 14 years now, and I think people are a little bit more open to it.
Yeah, I'm getting that sense too, that people are starting to shift their mindset a little bit.
Mm.
So I don't know how much of the conference you got to take in, but were there any other highlights from MTNA that you want to share with us?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the highlight for me is always just connecting with people. So bumping into people that you've worked with online but never met, or old friends, that's always a highlight for me. I did get to see Samantha Coates. So there was two other Aussies over there, go the Aussie team, Paul Myatt, whose presentation I wasn't able to get to, but I did get to some of Samantha Coates, who will be known to many listeners as well from Blitz Books. She did a fantastic one on transfer students, which I love. She's all about matrices, to use the official word, matrixes. She loves creating matrixes, which really simplify what she's trying to explain. It's a great presentation tactic, and she is one of the best presenters. I've learned so much from her, and I still remember a presentation she gave at NCKP 2017. I can picture it. I'm in the room. Everyone is loving it and laughing, and it was just brilliant. So that was definitely a highlight. The gala, I haven't been to the gala before, which is the dinner in the middle where presentations are given. I've actually not been to it, but everyone sits at their local state kind of table. And I got the chance to just kind of wander around and chat to people, and there was an amazing performance. So that was a surprising highlight. I'll be going to those ones in the future. And I think I did get to a few presentations, not as many as I would have liked to, but I think it really is just that camaraderie, networking, going to the exhibit hall and connecting with lots of people who are mid-vision at the moment, you know, achieving their entrepreneurial dreams by getting their own products and services out there. And that's always fun to be a part of and support too.
Yeah. From the NCKP conference, those are the things that I remember, is the connections with people, the people I met in the exhibit hall, the people I went to dinner with, even more than the presentations I went to.
Well, we bumped into each other in the lobby by the lift.
We sure did. And look where it ended up.
That's right. That's what can happen.
Yes. So let's switch gears a little bit here. I would love for you to tell us some of the exciting things going on at Top Music right now and maybe coming up and in the next couple months here.
Wow. Okay. Where do I start? So there's a lot. And we're always trying to do new things, improve our membership, improve the content that we're putting out. So I guess we are really proud of the magazine that we started in January. So we now have a monthly free magazine for teachers. And that magazine aligns with the content topics. So every month we're focusing on different topics. And so we've had a topic on teaching neurodivergent students. That was our sort of January, February one. We've looked at summer camps more recently, which people have talked about at NCKP, that's been really helpful. And now we've got songwriting, teaching beginners, and then we're looking at business. And so each month we're focusing on a different topic. And that's been great to align all our communications and courses and things around. So that's been really, really good. But I do encourage teachers to go and explore our magazine. You can find out about it. If you're on our email list, we will have been telling you about it, but otherwise head to the website and we'll be able to share that with you. So that's been great. We've also had Rebecca, our community manager, take our first live cohort through a course, and that was our neurodivergent course, our brand new epic course, with a group of our members weekly connecting over the space of a month to go step by step through the courses. And that's been really positive. And it just, it enables people to both answer and ask questions, but also be held a little bit accountable for actually making progress. Because that's one of the hardest things about doing online courses, is just sticking to it and continuing to go through it. So we've had those. We've also been doing some great member meetups. trying to connect more with our members. And we had a special guest this month. Tara interviewed a specialist all about teaching dyslexic students. And that was a members only webinar, which was really valuable for lots of teachers. And then I got to meet that presenter, actually come up to us at MTNA when I was doing my book sales. So that was cool too. What else have we got? We've also, inside the membership, for those not involved, we've been starting monthly missions, which are basically challenges that you can choose to accept if you would like to improve elements of your teaching. So we've just had a challenge about recording your teaching and how to do that, what to pick up from it. And Georgina did it and has already made changes to her teaching. She said this is one of the best things she's ever done. Super simple, but really effective. If you can't teach with another teacher watching, then just watching back your own teaching can be incredibly instructive. And we've got another one next month, which is all about practice, trying to get our own practice happening again, because that can be really difficult. So putting that challenge out there. So we've been, trying to offer these opportunities, I guess, for as much engagement as we can. We've had the launch of your show, this show that we're on now, which is incredible. And we're continuing to produce and plan for courses for the rest of this year and as many more resources as we can create to support teachers, because that's really what we're doing all of this for. And I have got one more presentation coming up in July, because the Australian Piano Pedagogy Conference is returning to Melbourne in July. So if anyone wants to fly in or fly over from the States or wherever it is, that's a great event that brings all the Aussies together, and Australasia, actually. So New Zealand and some of Asia too. What have I forgotten, Rachel? There's probably more.
I think you hit most of the big ones. I do want to mention the magazine. I have really enjoyed reading the magazine. There's so much valuable information in there. And the fact that you've made it free to any and all teachers, I think, is wonderful. So I love that.
Well, and I've got a shout out to Jill, who's our designer on the team. She's amazing. She also does our customer support. And Georgina, who looks after our content and social media, she's running the project. Also Tara. The three of them have just worked tirelessly to get this happening. And it just looks great. And it's fantastic to see live and real and out there. So that's been really, really good. Oh, I have been doing more. I've got some more video recording to do. We've been getting great feedback on my Pop Song Solutions videos. So I'm now doing these over 5 levels. So for those who don't know, I take a pop song that's been asked by a member or someone on our social media, say, how do I teach this one? We've got a list now. I've got a backlog of about 10 to do. But in the video, I watch the YouTube of it and work out how to teach it to 5 levels of students. So complete newbie who really can't play very much at all, how would I help them do this? To the kind of next level where we add some left hand, next level where we add some chords, et cetera, on the way up to like a kind of what I would do if I was to play it is kind of the top level. So I really enjoy doing those. And in fact, I think I'm going to do one live as a webinar coming up. So we're just talking about it as a possible thing that we might be doing soon. So if you're interested in that, you can actually come on a webinar and be there with me live as I try and decode and decipher one of these pop songs with you while we kind of learn about how it works. Oh, and I've got to say one more thing. We're doing a special exam and performance preparation workshop series in April with an amazing examiner and teacher here in Melbourne called Hilary Travers. So we're teaming up, and this is going to be over 4 weeks, 1 hour a week, webinar style, ask questions, and it's all about how to maximize performance and exam success from an examiner and a really experienced teacher's perspective. So I'm very excited about that. The information about that's all at topmusic.co/workshop if you want to find out and grab a seat for that one.
And is that inside of the membership?
No, that'll be a standalone thing. And that's a paid event as well. So people will need to invest in that, but it's really reasonably priced, I think, for what we're giving. It's going to be really powerful.
Yeah, it sounds well worth it. Great.
Top Music Pro enables you to be a pro in your own studio because you don't have to reinvent the wheel and you don't have to make up all the answers yourself. You have support.
I think of Top Music as the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. This site is the whole pot of gold, and there's gold pieces in there that I didn't even know existed.
I am actually teaching a full studio. They're coming online from miles away. So I am certainly thriving.
So what Tim has done is build a global community of piano teachers who are interested, who are engaged. And when you become part of this community, you feel empowered.
My life is different now because I'm not just in an isolated little studio. I have learned that there are other people out there going through very similar learning curves and sharing these ideas.
I've really gained a lot of skill sets where my teaching is far more creative, far more innovative. I have resources so that I can add to it things that I didn't know.
My life and my business are different now because I have the three things that I really wanted: less stress, more money, and more time.
It's going to be fun. Like, I got excited about being a piano teacher. It's revolutionized everything that I do.
I think I've become a more thoughtful teacher, a more organized teacher. The quality of my teaching has deepened.
I feel like I can do this. I feel a sense of hope. I love the creativity it fosters and the openness to thinking outside the box, and it's energizing.
Joining Top Music really solidified that. Like, no, this is your career. And you can make a career out of this. That has really helped me be proud of what I do.
It's made such a tremendous impact on the way I think about teaching. It keeps your mind open when you have so many ideas.
My best win from being on Top Music Pro is just having a lot more peace of mind as a teacher and as a business owner. It just gives me that less amount of hours that I have to do with research and everything.
It's a really good place to spend a few pounds, a few bucks a month. What you get from it far outweighs what you have to pay into it.
My biggest win with Top Music Pro was increased student retention and increased income. I have a lot more confidence in how I'm teaching, and I have the resources that I need when I do have questions.
I probably went from about 35 students to maybe like 65. I ended up doing 3 classes and I had a waiting list.
If I hadn't signed up with Top Music Pro, I probably wouldn't have realized that teaching piano is a real job and you can build your whole career around it.
So you mentioned the pop songs. We're kind of in the middle of the pop song and songwriting topic this month. And when I think of teaching pop songs to piano students, you're the first person I think of because I know you have so many videos. For those of us who are more classically trained, what advice can you give us about teaching pop music to our students?
Okay, well, 2 key pieces of information. Firstly, don't do anything until you've asked the student which bit of the pop song they actually want to be able to play, because it may not be the beginning. It may just be the little horn solo in the middle or the cool bit that they heard on TikTok for like 5 seconds somewhere in it. So find out what they want to learn first before you start teaching it. Secondly, avoid the temptation to teach from the score unless the student is at a level where they can easily play it. Also avoid the temptation to go away and transcribe the entire thing and try and work out an arrangement that your student can play from the notation. Now, the reason is because there's much more power in a student learning a pop song at the same time as you are deciphering it and trying to work out how it works, because they'll see you work through, oh, okay, so what key is it in? All right, so what are the main chords? Okay, let's have a look at the chords. Let's take it back, because all pop songs are based on chords. If we can get the chord progression and help students understand that chords and harmony really are the foundation of music, yes, rhythm is important, but there's no music without harmony of some sort, and that underlies all tonal music. And particularly pop songs, repetitive chord progressions are the first thing I pick out when I do a pop song solution video, or the melody, depending on what students want to learn. But yes, avoid that temptation to spend time transcribing, because it's that process of transcribing that students can learn a lot from. Now, the potential downside I hear teachers saying, well, is I don't have time to do that. But what I would say is, do you have time to actually sit there and teach them a written version of it? or go away and transcribe it. I mean, how many hours is that going to take you to do? Unless that's something that you really love doing. If you're passionate about making arrangements, then go for it. It'd be my guess. But I think there's just so much power in going, okay, let's look at this pop song together. And this is what I do in the videos. All right, let's hum the bass line. Let's hum the melody. Can we work out what key it's in? All right, is that a major or minor chord? Let's work out the progression, because most of them are based on four chords. We all know that, very simple. And most of them are pretty repetitive. And let's unpack it together. So they're the biggest sort of tips I can give teachers.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And I watched a few of your Pop Song Solution videos, and it was really helpful to watch you go through the process. So I think if teachers aren't sure where to start, if they watch those videos and watch you kind of unpack it, they'll get a better idea of how to do that themselves with their students.
And those videos, if you're wondering, are all inside our Top Music Pro membership, topmusicpro.com, if you aren't already a member. That's just one of the things that we love sharing with teachers. And I think we're sharing bits of them on social media, but if you want the whole thing, that's where you need to go.
Yeah. I think there's some on YouTube as well, maybe parts of them. Possibly.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So if teachers want to dive deeper into the pop songs and songwriting, can you share some of the courses that are available in the Top Music Pro membership that can help teachers?
Yeah. So my very first course that I ever created way back in 2014, I still remember doing it in about September. I'd spent the last couple of years building my audience online by releasing videos and blogs and things since about 2010. And I asked everyone, what do you need help with? What can I provide that would be most helpful to you now? And pretty much everyone came back and said, I need help teaching pop songs. How do I do it? I'm not listening to this pop music. How could I teach it? I don't know what songs are cool. And all of these questions are beside the point, because when you look at this new approach to teaching, you don't have to prepare. You can do this all on the spot. Anyway, I put together that first course in 2014. In September, I remember I had a three-week school. I was teaching full-time at a school. I had a three-week holiday break, and I recorded it. I edited it all myself. I'll put it all together. It was called Piano Flicks Teaching Pop Piano. I know some people listening will have bought that course way back then, and that really was the genesis through 2015 of me putting together the Top Music Pro membership, because I really wanted to connect all these people that were doing this course and asking me questions. I wanted to connect them all in a community where we could all share our ideas. So that course is still in there and is still as relevant today, because I'm pop song agnostic. I don't teach, well, I do in Pop Song Solutions. They are videos about specific songs, but in the course, I teach you how to teach any song. I guess it's like the biblical parable of teaching a person how to fish and they'll fish for a lifetime rather than giving them a fish or whatever it is. So that's one course. Now, out of that came four chord composing, which with Notebook Beginners are probably my two most popular courses that I've ever created. Four chord composing really pulls apart the pop song chord and harmony concepts for teachers. So if you're unsure particularly about how to use the circle of fifths in a fun way, because teaching kids how many sharps are in F sharp major with the circle of fifths is like the boring way. Like, don't do that. Well, I mean, you can do that, but it's not very interesting. The circle of fifths is like my top tool for teaching any bit of tonal music, because everything comes back to chords and harmony, and it's all laid out on the wheel. And so if you know a few tricks, which I teach you in this four chord composing course, you can then help students create their own chord progressions. It's super easy. You'll be doing it very, very quickly. And I do this. This is the first thing I do with any teenage transfer student is four chord composing. And that actually, there's free information about that at topmusic.co/chords. If anyone hasn't checked that out yet, go and have a look there. There's a free lesson plan download, I'm pretty sure. And then what we started hearing, and just interrupt me if you've got any questions, Rachel. What we started hearing from teachers after that course came out was, okay, but what next? And it took me a little while to find the right person, but I eventually found an amazing composer and teacher and examiner in Simon Rushby. He actually examines for the ABRSM. He gets flown around the world. This guy is an incredible musician, and he's recorded jingles and film music and all sorts of things. And he said he'd love to create a course about songwriting, which builds on four chord composing. And so that's great, because it aligns perfectly with our talk today. But I put my hand up. I was never a specialist in songwriting. Lyrics were always really hard for me. But I went through Simon's course because it was so good. I was like, every time I listen to a pop song now, I'm thinking of him in what he teaches in this course, because he reminds us all about the repetitive nature of pop songs particularly. It's really easy to think, oh, it's so hard writing a song. I've got to write this really complex melody and all these words. And he breaks it down and gives examples all the time of pop songs that are just so repetitive. Some of them are like on one note and it's just a cool rhythm. In fact, I did one the other day, The Killers, Mr. Brightside, was like one, the whole verse is like, and it's like such a huge popular song. It's really, really cool. It's on one note. It's crazy. And all these other examples, and he goes right back to sort of 50s and 60s, just like three note melodies and just repeated and repeated again and again. And that's why they stick in your head. So I'm really excited that we brought out that course. It's called Songwriting. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but it's about songwriting and it really breaks it down so well. Because I'd also shared information about Lisa Donovan Lucas's book for music teachers about songwriting. It's a great book, but there's something about watching someone at an instrument and we've got this massive epic download with all these sheets and example notation and all this stuff. There's something about watching someone do it live that makes it much more sort of easier to digest, I think. So, yeah, they're the three key courses. And Simon then actually did another course for us more recently, all about oral training and using ears and playing by ear. And so that sort of brings everything full circle back to this PianoFlix, my first ever course, which really got teachers, as I was saying at the start, to listen, help students hear and play what they hear, which I really focus on as well in Notebook Beginners. Like, that's the thing that we want to do right from those first few lessons. Can we get them singing, make it normal that we just sing in music lessons, and we get them really listening? Anyway, that's a very long answer to your question.
No, but so helpful and interesting. And I think I have my summer work cut out for me now because I need to dive into these courses.
Please do. But don't overwhelm yourself at the same time. I think it's great because not all kids are going to want to learn pop songs, and that's okay. Not all students are going to want to learn to write songs, and that's okay too. What I want from Top Music Pro and the membership is that it's there. It's a resource that's there when you need it. Because we've got another course that Bradley Sowash, amazing jazz pianist and educator, he created for us on helping students when they get asked to join the school jazz band. What do you do? How do you help them with these lead sheets and all this? And so, you know, that problem came up for me and other teachers. I'm like, Bradley, you've got to create a course for us. So we've got that course there. So if any time that happens to you, you can jump in and you can start watching that course. So I would say if you have a student that's showing an interest in songwriting, or they're writing songs themselves and coming in and playing them to you and you're like, I don't know what to do, then jump in. That's the course to take. What I would say, though, is that the four-chord composing course honestly underpins so much of all the music we teach or can do, that's a course that I think literally every teacher should take, because you'll start to be able to pull out the harmony and chords of the Baroque repertoire and the classical repertoire and the Dennis Alexanders and the Kevin Olsen music that you're teaching, all of that, and pull it apart and explore it in depth with students. They deepen their understanding. They get so much more out of it when it's not just, oh, let's read the notes. Okay, next piece, let's read the notes. Oh, that was another thing about pop teaching. If I could just go back. There was like three things, right? Ask them what they want to learn, whatever the second one was. The third one was you don't have to, and this actually goes for all music in many ways, you don't have to make music performance ready, recital ready all the time. It's okay to learn a few bars of something. Even if a student wants to learn like the start of La Campanella, just because they're so passionate about it, but it's way too much, way too hard for them. Maybe that's a bad example because that is truly very difficult. But, you know, a hard piece. Don't feel you've always got to make a piece performance ready before you can tick it off and move on to something else. It's okay for just to explore. And that's what having a repertoire rich approach to teaching is all about. Just explore lots of music. And yes, we do want to perfect pieces and give performance opportunities, sure, but not everything has to be like that. And pop songs in particular may not be ones that are going to be recital ready, and that's okay.
Right, but they're fun to show off for your friends, right?
Absolutely, and that's what we want, because we want our students to get that peer recognition that, oh my goodness, Rachel is the coolest girl because she can play that Taylor Swift song, and how good is that? And then you get that huge buzz and you're like, oh my goodness, people think I'm cool. Am I going to quit doing piano now? Absolutely not. I'm going to do more of it. I'm going to work harder. And that's when students start identifying as a musician. That gets them over that teenage hump of, am I actually going to put effort into this, or am I going to give it up? So I'm going on lots of tangents now.
I love it. Well, Tim, is there anything else that you want to share with listeners before we wrap up here?
Oh, there's so much cool stuff going on out there. Look, I know this is a bit of a hard time for a lot of teachers, just the way the economy is, and there are teachers who are struggling, and I know there's a lot going on for people as well. And so I would just say, look, I hope that listening to podcasts like this and engaging with our magazine and things like that can just give you a little bit of buzz, even if things are a little bit tough, that yes, there is great things going on. There can be a huge light at the end of the tunnel if you want there to be. Think about that future. Give yourself time to dream. I think it's really, really important, even when you're really, overwhelmed with lots of things, just taking that walk and going and thinking, what am I trying to do here? What's the future look like for me? This is one of the things I was talking about in my keynote. Can be really powerful. And I just say, I love music teachers, and I love all the things that you do for the students of the world. It's why I've committed my career really to supporting you, because I believe strongly in the power of what we do to change lives. And I want to support you because you are the ones working with those students and you're making a huge difference. And so I just go, thank you. Keep up what you're doing. I know it can be hard from time to time. And I just want you to know that we're here for you. Rachel's working hard on the podcast. She's sharing ideas. She's giving you as much content as she can. We're all doing that as much as we can through the YouTube channel and the podcast and the Facebook groups and the blog and the magazine, all that kind of stuff. So use it. And let us know if we can help in any other way.
Yeah, I think creating and building community for music teachers is one of the most important things that we can do. And I know Top Music is really striving to do that and doing an amazing job at it. So,
yeah, you just have to look at something. Sorry, Rachel. You just have to look at something like the conference to see the power of getting groups of people together in person, even better, obviously, but we can't all do that. So the next best thing, online communities like this, come and join us. Let us support you. Be a part of it. Don't feel isolated. Get support. Feel confident. Know what you're doing is right and on the right path, and let us help you achieve your own vision.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, Tim, for all the updates and the advice and the wise words. It's always great to catch up with you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Tim, for sitting down and sharing so much valuable information with us this week. This episode got me thinking about my own vision for myself and my students, and even though I have a general idea of what it is, I was challenged to get more specific and make sure that I'm communicating it with the teachers who work for me. I would love to hear about your vision as well. You can connect with me on Instagram or inside of Top Music Pro and tell me about the vision that you have for yourself and your studio. That's the end of the show for this week. I'm Rachel Ehring, and you've been listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. I will talk with you again soon.
How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future?
I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today.